I've entitled this morning's talk, this morning's sermon, Beware of the Big Bad Wolf. Beware of the Big Bad Wolf. Will you turn, if you have a Bible, it will also be on the screen in a moment, Proverbs chapter 22. Proverbs chapter 22. And we're going to read the first six verses. And then I will be coming back to this portion in a few moments. Proverbs chapter 22, verses 1 to 6. A good name is to be chosen rather than great riches, loving favor rather than silver and gold. The rich and the poor have this in common. The Lord is the maker of them all. A prudent man foresees evil and hides himself, but the simple pass on and are punished. By humility and the fear of the Lord are riches and honor and life. Thorns and snares are in the way of the perverse. He who guards his soul will be far from them. Train up a child in the way he should go, and when he is old, he will not depart from it. I'm sure all of you will have heard, read, and understood the little story of the three little pigs. The story begins with the title characters being sent out into the world by their mother to seek their fortune, to find their fortune. The first little pig builds a house made of straw, but a wolf blows it down and eats the little pig. The second pig builds his house made with sticks, but the wolf also comes along, blows the house down, and eats him. Each exchange between the wolf and pig features that phrase, "No, no," said the little pig. "By the hair of my chinny chin chin, I will not let you come in." So the wolf replies, "Then I'll huff and I'll puff and I'll blow your house down." But the third pig builds his house with bricks, and the wolf fails to blow the house down. So he then attempts to trick the pig by asking him to meet him in different places. But each time, the wolf is outwitted. The wolf becomes angry, but he pretends not to be. He thinks, "This is a clever little pig. If I want to catch him, I must pretend to be his friend." The wolf was very angry. He pretended not to be. Finally, the wolf resolves to come down the chimney, whereupon the pig catches the wolf in a cauldron of hot boiling water. He slams the lid on, then cooks the wolf and eats him. The third pig's brick house turns out to be the only one which is adequate to withstand the wolf. The big bad wolf wanted to devour the pigs at all cost. The first pig's house, the second pig's house, were no match for the power of the big bad wolf. But the third pig's house was as solid as a rock. Despite numerous attacks on the house, it was of no avail because it was constructed with the right kind of material. Today, there's a big bad wolf standing outside all of our homes, seeking to devour them, to blow them down. And this big bad wolf also wants to get into you. He wants a foothold in your heart and life. He's standing also outside the church and the Christian community at large. He's desperate to get in. And this big bad wolf goes under the name of Satan, or the devil. Now, it's true to say, before we become a Christian, before we become born again of the Holy Spirit and live the life that God has planned for us, the good life, although it will be a life which has trouble and at times persecution, it's a life which God has imparted His eternal spirit, His eternal life, and we become co-workers with Him so that what He calls us to go through, we can do it. Because His power is at work in us. We're not on our own. We're co-workers with Him. But before we become Christian, we belong to the wolf's family, the devil's family. And that's why it's so important that we see our need of a Saviour, see a need of a Deliverer, see a need of someone who can free us from bondage and captivity to the one who's keeping us in chains. That one is Jesus Christ, the Son of God. Hallelujah. Glory to His name. In the Bible, in 1 Peter chapter 5 and verse 8, we read this. And it's talking to the people of God. It's talking to the Christian community. He says, be sober, be vigilant, because your adversary, the devil, walks about like a... The Bible doesn't use the word wolf. It uses, in this case, a roaring lion. He's going about like a roaring lion, seeking whom he can devour, seeking whom he can snap up. Actually, we read those four verses, 1 Peter chapter 5, verses 6 to 9. 1 Peter chapter 5, verses 6 to 9. Therefore, humble yourselves under the mighty hand of God, that He, that is Christ, may exhort you in due time, casting all your care upon Him, for He cares for you. Be sober, be vigilant, because your adversary, the devil, walks about like a roaring lion, seeking whom he may devour. Resist him, steadfast in the faith, knowing that the same sufferings are experienced by your brotherhood in the world. Okay, now I just mentioned that as Christians, as a community, we need to be aware of the enemy, the devil, the bad, big bad wolf. So Jesus says, watch out for false prophets. They come to you in sheep's clothing, but inwardly they are ferocious wolves. That's the New International Version. The New Living Translation says, beware of false prophets who come disguised as harmless sheep, but are really vicious wolves. Church, beware of the big, bad wolf. They might be dressed up like sheep, as if they were God's people. You see, wolves will eat just about anything. They will eat the animals that are killed by the roadside. It's a way actually of saving their energy during the cold winter months. It's a way to get something for nothing. They will look at animals and find animals that have been struck by motor vehicles and they enjoy a free meal. But it's the same thing with the false teacher, the false prophet. Their greed will cause them to pervert God's message and speak falsities and exploit unknowing prey. And I think it's particularly serious how they exploit the vulnerable for their own benefit by teaching wrongly the story that Jesus said about sowing your seed. So often, greed drives their ministry rather than grace. And we need to be warned that these wolves stay outside. They don't have impact on us or the church. You see, wolves are sneaky. Beware of the big bad wolf. They watch their prey and planned their attack. And the sneaky wolf, the false prophet, is in watching and waiting. In Acts chapter 20, we read this, and verse 28. Acts 20 and verse 28, this is the Apostle Paul, the man of God, who's giving his farewell letter to the church at Ephesus. And in verse 28 it says, talking to the church, therefore take heed to yourselves and to all the flock, among which the Holy Spirit has made you overseers, to shepherd the church of God, which he purchased with his own blood. For I know this, that after my departure, savage wolves will come in among you, not sparing the flock. Also from among yourselves, men will rise up, speaking perverse things, to draw away the disciples after themselves. Okay, the story about those three peaks. The third peak protected himself. He knew that his house was no match for the devil. He knew that although the wolf pretended to be the pig's friend, he wasn't. He was to be resisted. He was to be, driven out. And that applies to you and me. It applies to this church. The devil will tempt us. The devil will say all kind. He will dress his message up very, as it were, coated in barley sugar. He wants us to be taken in. But the Bible says we're not unaware of the devil's schemes, okay? And the closer we live to Jesus Christ, if we're building our houses, we opened the singing this morning, if we're building on the rock, Christ Jesus, the devil is no match. We can resist him. But we must resist the devil, church. And I pray each week that if any wolf comes in here, the elders will have discernment and know it. Praise God for his protection. Hallelujah. You see, the thief comes only to steal, kill, and destroy. The wolf wants to steal, kill, and destroy. Okay, let's get practical for a moment. The enemy wants to attack and destroy anything that is good in this world. He's a deceiver. He wants you to believe that what he's saying and doing actually is for your better. And, is there a God? Did God say this? He wants to put doubts in your mind. He wants to take you on a path which is away from the Lord Jesus. And one of the things the devil is attacking is good institutions. We see the devil trying to destroy and redefine marriage and what marriage is. The Bible, God's word, clearly says that marriage is between man and woman. There's an Old Testament scripture, there's several, but right at the beginning in Genesis chapter 2 and verse 24. Therefore a man shall leave his father and mother and be joined to his wife, and they shall become one flesh. A man and a woman. Other scriptures which you can look up are 1 Corinthians chapter 7 verses 1 to 3, Hebrews 13, 4 to 7. So this big bad wolf, Satan, you see, the great thing is, if we know the Lord Jesus Christ, if we're seeking to follow him and be obedient to him, we don't have to be intimidated by this big bad wolf. Because he ain't no match for us. But we need to be strong in Jesus, strong in his word. Satan says marriage can be between anyone or anything. Satan will destroy your marriage on a personal level. He will whisper, it's too much like hard work. You can do so much better. You know you're unhappy. Your God doesn't want you unhappy. And this other person will treat you so much better. You're too good to be with him. He doesn't love you. Just walk away. Friends, I'm seeking to be sensitive, but we have a mortal enemy who didn't just attack a man and a woman in the Garden of Eden. He attacked marriage in the Garden of Eden. Satan hates marriage because God instituted it. And he hates everything created by God. Satan naturally, this is, you know, he's the fallen angel. He was a great worshipper. He was, the, as it were, the head of the chain of angels. But he wanted to be like God. Pride got the better of him. He had to be cast out from heaven. And he came down. And we see his work in the world today. But one day, his work will finish. Hallelujah. But at the moment, he's going around either like a roaring lion or quiet as a mouse. Satan naturally hates what is from God, whether it be people, creation, or an institution like marriage and the church. Satan hates marriage because it is a powerful symbol of the relationship of the church and Christ. It's a wonderful symbol of the relationship of Jesus Christ and what he calls the bride. Hallelujah. So when two people come together in a covenant and commit to love one another, serve one another, and consider the other's good above their own, that's a great testimony to what marriage should be and the work of Christ in their lives. Satan relishes it. The big bad wolf relishes it when Christians are living selfishly in their marriages, taking out more than they give and not realizing the powerful testimony they could have. Humility comes into it, submitting to one another in love, forgiving one another. We must be able to forgive. We must be able to let go and allow God to change us and to change those with us. A successful marriage requires falling in love many times, but always with the same person. Satan hates marriage because he knows parenting happens best in healthy marriages. And that's nothing against single mothers, single fathers doing their best and often doing an incredible work in raising their children well. But parenting is best when in a marriage the children can see the sacrificial love of God expressed between two people. When dad speaks highly of the mum and mum speaks highly of the dad. Satan hates that. Okay, and I thank God. You see, God is a God of grace. Any other so-called God will condemn you. If you've had what we would call, and you might call, a failure, perhaps you've blown it, perhaps the person you were living with abused you, you had no option. God is a God. My God is a God of grace. Hallelujah. And we are living in grace. Praise be to his name. What I'm trying to point out is what God's ideal is. And marriage is under attack like never before. And I want all of you to be strong in your marriages, strong in love. As you submit to the Lord Jesus Christ, humble yourself before him. And seek not your own interest, but the interest of the other. You will see life transform. You will see marriage transform. You will see joy come into your life. Let us go back to Proverbs 22 as we conclude. God is for you. If God is for you, who can be against you? God is for you. And I thank him that greater is he that is in me and in you, the Christian, than the big bad wolf in the world. I'm thankful of that. Proverbs chapter 22 and verse 6. Proverbs 22 and verse 6. Train up a child in the way he should go, and when he's old, he will not depart from it. Don't forget, we have a big bad wolf seeking whom he can devour. And Satan is after your children. I'm just going to promote the day conference that we have in less than 4 weeks now. May the 9th, held here, 10 o'clock, 10:30 to 4 o'clock. It's called Day Conference, The Family. And I hope you'll make every effort to be here on that day. Because Satan is after your children. He's after them with the curriculum, in the scores, and in many other ways. And I'm saying to you, or the Lord is saying to you, make sure your house is built on Christ, the solid rock. Make sure your house is not of straw or of sticks. Children will either turn out to be followers of Christ or reject him. And children are not often very good at listening to their parents or listening to their elders, but they never fail to imitate them. And I would give you this bit of advice. Don't be too anxious, don't worry too much if your children don't seem to be listening. Worry that they are watching you. So what are some specifics to keep the bad wolf out? I'm just going to concentrate on three do's. Discipline. Discipline. Proverbs 13 verse 24, whoever spares the rod, and I'm reading from the NIV, whoever spares the rod hates their children, but the one who loves their children is careful to discipline them. Proverbs 19 verse 18 says, discipline your children, for in that there is hope. Do not be a willing party to their death. That isn't PC. The psychologists would tell us differently, but that is the word of God. Actually, Hebrews 12 verse 27 says this, endure hardship as discipline. It's talking to the church, it's talking to the believers, it's talking to Christians. Endure hardship as discipline because God is treating you as children. But what children are not disciplined by their father? Now, obviously, we need to exercise discipline, this tool, properly and effectively. Inconsistent discipline can be worse than none at all. Discipline in anger can be counterproductive. Consistent, purposeful, loving discipline with the goal of it always in mind, the good of the child is best. Secondly, have a family altar, family worship. Why? Because in your home, in your family, we need to keep God in the center. This is what the family altar is all about. We'll be hearing more of this at the conference. You see, fundamentally, Christianity involves family relationships. You cannot have a thriving church without a family altar in the lives of its members. A family altar, family worship, is the time to stop. It's affirmation that God is at the center of the home, that Christ Jesus is the head of the home. Family time is a time to remind all in the family that God is at the center. The home is to be God's place. It's a place set apart for God. You're reminding the family that the home is God's place. He's in charge of it. And it is to be a place of blessing. The ideal family, the family altar, should be informal yet reverent. It should include Bible reading, praying together, singing, worship. And you have to fit in times which is convenient to you, but don't neglect the family altar. Don't neglect reading the scriptures, Bible stories with your children, however young they are, and singing the word of God, sharing about their day, your day, bringing it to the Lord, bringing about tomorrow. Lord, what opportunities are you going to give me tomorrow? What opportunities are you going to give my children tomorrow that they will be able to resist peer pressure, resist what is bad and evil and horrible, and seek to please you, to be a witness for you, Lord, that others, their friends, their peers, may indeed become Christians. And I would suggest, friends, that the rebuilding of the family altar, the rebuilding of parents with their children coming together in worship, will arrest the tide of rebellion and raise a wall against what Satan is seeking to do with marriage and our children. I believe that. I believe it with all my heart. And I believe this will equip you as parents and equip the grandparents and all who have an interest with wisdom, and will anchor the children's faith in Christ, who is the rock of ages. I'm convinced of that. So that when they are older, they will not depart from it. I say, I've been seeking to do this, and I know I haven't done it rightly, and my children are way out in the world, I don't know where they are. One of my child has got involved in drugs, another one is drinking himself stupid, one is in an immoral relationship. They're ruining their lives, and you say, Pastor, the word says that when they're old, that's not happening. Don't give up. Pray, pray, pray. Don't give up. Believe God's promise. Speak the word of God over the situation. You will come weary at times of doing it, and you'll perspire with sweat in anxiety. Make sure you've got a good Christian friend who is praying with you, praying for you, praying that your children will come back to the Lord. Believe it will happen. Satan will, the big bad wolf will not hold on to them forever. He's got to let them go. And don't see yourself today as a failure. If you're in Christ, you're a victorious overcomer. The past is past. The devil wants to remind you of your past. That's all he's interested in. God wants to tell you about your future. If you're in Christ, your family is in Christ, it's brilliant. And you're on the winning side. You can't lose. God calls us to faithfulness. He calls us to obedience. May you and I not grow weary in well-doing, for we shall reap a harvest if we faint not. You've got a harvest coming. You have got a harvest coming. You've got a harvest coming. Don't give up. Don't give in to the devil. Please the Lord. A harvest is coming. Go forth and multiply. Amen.